popular drug. This week I want to look at delusional character. Delusional character. Where's Kevin at? Is he okay? Alrighty. Matthew chapter 24. And Brother Kenny, can you pass these out for me, sir? Matthew chapter 24. By the way, faith promise offering. Begin to pray about it. Next Sunday morning, we'll take these up. What we'll do is, for example, the amount that you can promise weekly or monthly or whatever it is, you'll be writing that in, and then we can get an idea of what we can give each of our missionaries, and we'll be praying. So when you write that down, one of them is for the offering plate, and the other one is for your refrigerator. You know why? It's right there. And it reminds you what you should be giving. By the way, church family, I mean this with all my heart. If you're not giving tithes and offerings, don't you give to missions. Your tithes and offerings keep the lights on and feed the first missionary to the church. And you say, well, that's you. Yes, it is me. And listen, and I'm not using this. I don't want to be. I know you may not think I am. But according to Scripture, a good pastor is a gift from God. And Brother Josh, I want you to begin praying. I've been praying about this. After I deal with alcoholism and alcohol, I want to deal with pastoral authority in the church. Today in America, we don't think the pastor is important. How many good decisions have you made that you talk to your pastor about? How many dumb decisions and bad decisions have you made because you didn't talk to your pastor about? What, are you telling me I got to have your permission to live? Oh, no. I just know that most of my dumb decisions were made without godly counsel. I'm just telling you now. I do not believe we understand the importance of the pastor in our life. And we're going to, Lord willing, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, preach on that. But next week, let Brother Mike be a blessing to you. Be praying for revival of your heart. A want of God. A want to be in the house of God. You know, we have service on Wednesday night at 7. Just saying. We have services at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. We eat a little dinner and then we have a service after that and we're done for the day. You said 20. You're still doing 2020. I don't know. On Sunday nights, I'd have maybe one family or two families come back and I ain't figured that one out yet. Part of David gets defeated when he doesn't see you here. Are y'all? I'm sharing my heart as a pastor, as your friends. You need to be in the house of God with the people of God. I guarantee you, they're not like this out there. How many of y'all work for a boss? It seems like the rules change every time you show up to work. Amen. I've been asked at the first of the year, and I haven't said anything to anyone because I was doing it for a friend and to be a help and. But a friend of mine was head of security, and there's only two of them. They call it the safety team at Royal Scott. And one of the owners, Amy and Rod, they needed some help. So one night we was there, and I was going to work a part-time job years ago with Teach Out Security, and they told me they loved the fact that I have a concealed carry permit, but they didn't like the fact that I was a martial artist. So I never got hired on. I was just going to work a 12-hour shift, just one a week for them. And the Lord just wasn't in that. Well, just recently, at the first of the year, I was offered, hey, Dave, can you come help us on Friday night, Saturday night? I said, well, yeah, I can do that. Do you carry? Yes, I do. Do you have paperwork? I've got everything I needed. You're a martial artist, too. Yes, we need you. Can you teach us some things? Sure. So I've been doing that a little bit. And that's drying up because everybody's going to go outside and play golf now. You know? Yeah. Right? And I've seen things. You say, wait a minute. Royal Scott, that's a bowling alley and a golf place. Yeah, they got a bar in there and they got some other things. And believe me, it's bouncing redneck drunk and black neck drunk bowlers. Okay? And I've had to bounce a couple. One, not like I really wanted to, but I had to. And so one of those things has been, what I've noticed about it is the delusional character of people. Outside of here, you're going to get cussed. Why not be in the house of God where you're not going to get cussed?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get that old pudgy preacher back there. It's lost all his hair and gone gray. It's because I'm your pastor. I wasn't like that when I came here. And y'all know that. I had dark, curly. Didn't I, babe? I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But why do I go to the house of God? Because Margie's there who's going to smile and tell me she loves me and mean it. I know a lot of people say, oh, I love you, and they don't mean it. I'm still dealing with a young man that basically just tore my heart up. Yeah, I've never understood. And Sister Dawn, you and I relate to this pretty good. Why is it everybody that says they love us are the ones that generally tear our hearts up the most?
Chosen one.
Right?
Well, I get in people's faces, Sister Karis, anymore. You ain't got a right to tear my heart up. Go on, get. You don't like me, I don't like you. And then I say, Lord, forgive me and help me love them.
Right.
Folks, forgive me, but you need to be in the house of God more than one or two Sundays, and you need to be in the house of God more than twice a year. Because there's a lot of delusion out there today. Now, I could talk about the delusional character that the news media brings about. I could talk to you about the delusional character that the sugar you eat brings about. The destructive nature of many of the things that we take in. You ever feel like a zombie? Then recollect or write down everything you ate for the last week and 2 weeks. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you why. Poor Brother Ray couldn't do without a sippy cup of coffee. Now, in his defense, I like my coffee in the mornings too. Afternoon, 2 o'clock, I can't do it no more. I'd be up till the next day. Listen, beloved, today there's a lot of delusional character out today, and I want to show you some things from the premise. Now listen, from the scriptural guidelines, that a believer right with God will not partake of alcohol. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's not David. But I can tell you a bunch of stories about the destructive, delusional nature of alcohol. Why does a drunk vomit? You really think it's any good to take in if you're just going to throw it up? Some of y'all are lightweights. I'd give you about 3 ounces of beer and you'd be falling over drunk and ready to throw up. 3 ounces? Yep, I'd give you 3 ounces. Matter of fact, if Rachel, Sister Rachel, sniffed it, she'd be throwing up. Then she'd be more delusional and more of an airhead. Mama Ward, she's got to be a blonde. Just saying.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's right. Dawn's back there. I lost my mind for a minute. I got delusional this morning. Would you all help me understand? Look, I want to help you, but alcohol has never, ever, ever, ever made anything better. Matthew 24, verse 48 with me, please. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. And appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This servant that's mentioned here, he's not of the household of the Father. He's a servant. He's somebody from the outside that's been come in and given a job to serve. But this servant in this passage and a couple other passages, so, Lord, please, Master, have mercy on me, and then won't show mercy to those that are subservient to him. Does that make sense? I love you. See, you're not mine, but you are the Lord Jesus Christ. I just happen to be the under shepherd right now. To many, I'm not doing it right. To some, I'm doing it okay. And to others, I can't do any wrong. And you know, that's dangerous. My little sister and I, we talk about, and Ray, my buddy here, and I always remind him, no blind loyalty. No blind loyalty. But in my book, Karis can't do wrong. Margie, she can't do wrong. Brother Ray, it's that silly tie he's got on that I gave him. This morning, I want y'all to understand this world's creating a lot of delusional character. But in this passage, I want you to make a point to understand that he's drinking with the drunken. Father, help us to see this point this morning and be fed from the Scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. Delusional character. So in this delusional character, let's describe, let's understand what it means by to be delusional. It would be delusional to say, hey, the sky is red. Now we all know that even in Michigan we have two different colors of sky, gray and blue. Am I right? Well, now, Pastor, that's everywhere. I'd say that Michigan's a lot more gray than it is blue. Well, I think I just heard Brother Josh, somebody say I was right. It would be delusional for me to look at Kyle and say he's a girl. That's a young man. It would be delusional of me to look at... I got to pick one out here. No, I better leave that one alone. I was going to bring up Sister Dawn, but I fear for my life. Delusional. Today we have a lot of delusion in the media. The installed president that we have is delusional in his own self. Hey, don't you be mean and nasty to him. You better pray for him. He's your leader. See, as he goes, we go. When he falls down an airplane stairs, you're going to fall down. You better get that in your head now, Michiganders. I've dealt with some Michiganders lately. You better pray for him because God put him there. Because of your sin and my sin, we have delusional politicians to also bring about God's will. To be honest with you, we've never had a president that was ever truly voted in. Like it or not, they've all been installed. They have. By God. See, God's hand is on this, and even God's hand has the heart of the king, and he turns it whichever way he wants it. It is delusional for you to even think your vote means much. Now go vote. Because I'm talking about every vote, by the way. See, I've got family members that died for this country. I have family members that sweat blood and tears for this country. That's why I say a Pledge of Allegiance. I'm dealing with some folks that say, we ought not vow a vow, according to James. That's not talking about a vow of patriotism. That's not talking about a vow of marriage. You know what that is? That's a vow between you and God. You better not do it, because I guarantee you what, if you don't let your yea be yea and your nay be yea, you ask Ananias and Sapphira what happens if you lie to him. All right? Delusional character. Now, in this delusional character, we also find deceived character. When you find delusional, you'll find deceived. Why? I think one of the delusions that I had, now I could jump. And from underneath the rim, I could jump and I could grab the rim. Well, all right, I could grab it with my fingers, okay? I couldn't completely grab it with my fists. And you ask Miss Jamie, she's seen me play basketball, okay? She said she liked me running up and down the court with my gym shorts. All right. That's just terrible.
I'm not saying that.
I know you're not. Back in the 80s, we had those short shorts. Remember those things? Oh, my word. Oh, goodness. But there are people that are deceived. And I used to, at 10 years old and 11 years old, kind of deceive myself. Now, we had a basketball game. A picture of Bobby Knight. Okay, anyway, I won't go there. For those of you who don't know who Bobby Knight is, the greatest NCAA basketball coach of all time. By the way, still to this date, he's the only coach of a perfect championship team. I know it's 1976, but if you got it, you better flaunt it, right? There's great deception in David at 5'8", thinking he could play in the NBA. But there are a lot of people today that deceive themselves. They deceive themselves because of delusional character, creating a deceived character, which just leads to destruction. Delusional character, deceived and destroyed, all of it leads to a slaughter. There are a lot of believers today that are being told by the pastors behind the pulpits or whatever guru that they follow that it's okay and you need to take a can of beer a day to help your liver and your kidneys. No! You need to get rid of the garbage you're eating if you want to help your kidneys and your liver. Okay. Now, I know y'all don't care much for this, but you're just going to hear it anyway because God's put it on my heart to give it to you. It leads to a slaughter. Brother Billy Kelly, my hero of all heroes. He made statements, and I've told you before, he'd get to preaching and he'd tell you about the fire being set on this and how God will set your fields on fire. Hallelujah! And I mean, he got loud and he'd get this and that. Of course, he had to tell 50 to 70 jokes before he got to preaching. And according to most preachers, he only had like 10 or 11 messages. He would say things like, Southern Comfort will make you miserable. Wild Turkey will make you a wild turkey. And Budweiser will make you Bud dumber. Amen. It's because he knew, and then the Christians before him knew, Brother Billy Kelly passed away at 67 years old in 1997. Great man of God, born in 1930. But I'm telling you what, he was a breath of fresh air. Because most preachers today, they gotta have their little sermonettes. And they have to tell you that Jesus saves. Did you know that there's victory in Jesus? Man, you need to be saved. Because it ought to do something for you. It ought to wire you up. It ought to give you some energy. It ought to give you some charisma. But Brother Billy Kelly killed himself with food. Loved peanuts. He wouldn't eat one piece of pie. He'd eat the whole pie. Brother Billy Kelly was 6'2" and 470 pounds. Well, if you ain't careful, you're going to eat yourself to death too. That's why David has to be very cautious to what he takes in. I got to walk. I tell you what, beloved, 3 to 5 miles a day is good for you. One little girl was asked, she just found out, well, she's about 4 months pregnant, and her name is Tommy. You pray for her, witness to her. And little Tommy said, I said, well, is this your first child? She said, yeah. I said, you know, one of the best things that helped my wife was walking. I said to her, my wife was stubborn. My wife, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I got to be careful here. This has been recorded. Jamie, the morning her water broke with David, she had her mind to go to work that morning. Anybody else in here like that? Yeah. I bet just about all y'all. Why? Because we working folk. We're serious about what we do. And her water broke, and I said, baby, you ain't going to work today. Of course, she went, shucky darn. That was at 5:35 in the morning. Kid you not, I remember the time. David was born at 11:57, and 2 o'clock, we were sitting at Baptist Hospital in Pensacola, Florida, watching the Cubs game. Now, you listen, that's paradise, Brother Ray. We get delusional character, and it deceives us, thinking that we're okay, and then we're destroyed, which just leads nothing to a slaughter. That's what's happening today. The news media is destroying America. President Biden and the Democrats are the party of death. The Republican Party is a party of death. You better hear me now. They're a party of death. President Trump is not the one to trust in. He is not an altar boy. He is a deceiver like the rest of them. I've already made mention to you, he had that woman of a Baptist church from the state of Washington or Oregon. I can't remember which one it was. It was Washington, I think. Up there to say the prayer at his inauguration. Beloved, that is wicked. And he's just as deceived as the rest of them. And the news media. And Donald Trump. And the Republicans. And the Democrats. Washington. Gretchen Whitmer. All of them, what you thinking? We need them. We need to honor them because God set them up as the authority. But I'm going to tell you now, I need Jesus Christ. Amen. See, he's a king that'll never lie to you. It's delusional to think. So, let me say this. In these passages, the context of the passage describes the wine as fermented or unfermented. The word wine is actually a generic term. In the King's English, in this wonderful King James Bible, in this absolutely 100% word-for-word perfect Bible, this King James Bible, there is no other Bible, there is no other version. They are all mockery of the true Bible. Okay? In this wonderful King James Bible, the word wine is generic. If you do not read the context of the passage, you do not know what kind of wine this is. Fruit of the vine, or is it alcohol? Well, look in this passage. In Matthew chapter 24, we have alcoholic. This is alcohol, verse 48. But, and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. He's just going to delay. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. You go back to the Old Testament, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging in Proverbs chapter 20. But from this context, I know this is fermented wine. Those of you who use grape juice and apple juice, if it's got sugar in it, it's only missing one ingredient and time for it to be alcohol. Yeast. In order to make it, you put and you know what's amazing is you let grapes or whatever type of muscadine wine, those big muscadine grapes, they'll use those, and they break them down. You know what they do? They find the darkest, coolest spot they can find, put it in whatever jar they can, those big old pickle jars, remember you used to get? They would put that and some stuff, and then they would let it, are you ready for this word? Rot. They use the term ferment, Miss Bensie, to justify drinking it. But all it is rotten. And I'm going to tell you something. If you put something rotten in, you're going to get something rotten out. You can never, ever get anything godly, heavenly, or that which glorifies King Jesus from rottenness. It's either the fruit of the vine or alcohol. Well, prove that to me. All right. I'm glad you asked me to. Isaiah chapter 5. I was going to whether you asked me to or not. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Y'all with me? Please, this is important because I'm dealing with Christians that think it's all right to spend $50 on whiskey and beer, $100 on whiskey and beer, and then their family can't eat, and they need gas money because they're doing what? They're getting drunk, vomiting it up, money. That's not being a good steward of your time, your energy, or your monies. Look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Now read the passage and you tell me, is this fermented or unfermented? Isaiah 5 and verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of the hands. I had a gentleman say to me, you know, it's been years ago, but he says, Pastor, I'd help more with finances at the church if I was able. I said, you stop drinking for a year and we could put a new roof on the church. Don't tell me that wine or the alcoholic beverage is cheap. Now, when you go to a ball game and get a 16-ounce or a 40-ounce and pay anywhere from $10 to $20 at a ball game. And the day that I drank, and God, thank you for forgiving me. And you could get old Red and White, $2.43 for a six pack. I guarantee you ain't gonna do that today. You get a 40-ounce Colt 45 malt liquor, quart, for about $3 to $4. You ain't gonna do that today. I don't know what the prices are, and I don't want to know. Y'all listening? One of the things I told Brother Rod when he asked me to come on and just be a help for, you know, 1 or 2 days a week over here at the Royal Scott, I told him, I said, I will not touch alcohol. Because I noticed a couple of the guys on the safety team, which we only have three of us now because the others didn't want it, but that will help the waitresses a little bit. I'm not helping a lazy waitress, for one, or waiter. I'm not doing that. Number two, I will not touch a glass that has had alcohol in it. Well, how do you know whether it's had an alcohol? I said, I won't touch a glass then. You either hire me to keep these people safe and secure them, or I'm not doing it. The gentleman's wife was standing there. I can respect that. I said, see, I got victory over that many, many years ago. And every day I get victory over it. You know how I get victory over it now? Reading my Bible, praying, hey, being in the house of God amongst other believers who have the same struggles and problems. Y'all hear me? Do you understand the importance of being in the house of God? One of the things that helps me, I tell you something else. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to put it this way, you don't like it, on you. I also have the greatest woman to ever walk the earth is my buddy, my friend, and my wife. See, because of that woman, I had to stop. Wasn't because we ran out of money. It's because she left a little note on the table that said, sober up or I'm leaving you. She's still with me. So you know what that means? It has nothing to do with my maturity level. I will not ever be thought of being mature. And no fun in it. But I'll get sober. As a mean drunk. And by the way, they say there's happy drunks and mean drunks. No, they're all stupid drunks. Look at verse 12 here. As for my people, children are... Wait a minute. I'm sorry, I'm wrong verse. And the harp and the vial. But they regard not the work of the Lord. They regard not the work of the Lord. You have to be delusional. You've got to be deceived and being destroyed to not think of the work of God's more important. Look at chapter 19 of Isaiah. I got to get moving here. It's 12 o'clock already. Stinking. Devil don't like this, by the way. And neither does your flesh. And if you're watching your flesh, and I guarantee you right now, there's a whole bunch of believers that don't like it. Well, David, how do you know so much? Because I was raised around it. We had one Uncle Lester. I done told you last week. You couldn't be around Uncle Lester by yourself. That old drunk, he'd grope you and he'd do all kind of silly things. Cuss you. There is no such thing. Now listen, please get this out of your head. There is no such thing as a happy drunk. Amen. Verse 14 of chapter 19. The Lord hath mangled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. I never vomited or anything like that. But then again, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I was ever drunk. I might have had a sip here and there and stuff, but you know, even as a kid, they thought it was cute. Ha, let's get David. He can have a drink of that. I tell you, child, you know what really is? Child abuse? Letting a child take a drink of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Now, young men, don't you ever think about it. But Pabst Blue Ribbon, I've told you before, is the stuff they scrape up off the floor after they poured the other stuff. That is the cheapest stuff that you can drink. And it's wicked. It's horrible. Verse 14 to chapter 19, just look at me one more time. Look at me one more time. Statement. As a drunk man, he drank was firm. But There are things that are in there that are a 90 and 120 proof. When they would do a barrel of beer, you couldn't stir it after they'd let it set. First 5 to 10 gallons, you have to scoop off because it's too weak. It's nasty. Then the next 30 gallons, you could keep. But the bottom 15 gallons, it was turpentine. I never understood how that they could drink, pour it on the engine, wipe the engine off, put it in the engine to run it. Alcohol is never to be consumed. It is another devious way of the devil in this world to get you delusional. Wine is generic, so we have the idea of fermented and unfermented. So, I think I've made my point on that, have I not? In Proverbs chapter 31, you're to give a man that's dying. Come with me to this. You got to see this for yourself. Proverbs chapter 31, look at verse number 4. Proverbs 31 and verse number 4. Beloved, I'm 55 years of age this year, and I've never seen alcohol ever help a situation. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 4. 31:4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. There, the passage tells you if this wine is fermented or unfermented. Do you see that? Proverbs 31, verse number 4. Listen, our president drinking alcohol? And you can't tell me he's not. Now, President Trump said he's never touched it. Well, he hasn't touched it or whatever. I believe him. Have y'all seen the decisions that he's made as a businessman? You know why they hate him so bad? He's made his mistakes. He's filed bankruptcy. And then he grows. Makes a mistake. Hey, I think he's filed bankruptcy one time. Does that sound familiar? I think we all go through that cycle, do we not? Right? So, verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law. Have they not done that? And pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Have they not perverted judgment? Good is evil and evil is good. We live in the end times for sure. So in the passage, you know whether it's alcoholic wine or fruit of the vine. In John chapter 2, they've run out of juice. According to Jewish law, according to the Jewish tradition, alcoholic wine, alcoholic fruit of the vine, is not used in Jewish weddings. Manners and customs of the Bible lands, that book will tell you. Josephus, the historian of the day, will tell you. And I'm pretty sure the Bible will tell you. You and I are not to partake of alcohol. And that's, the Lord Jesus turned water into wine. He didn't turn, matter of fact, the one that had the feast, you know what he says? Wait a minute. You saved the best for last? Old preachers used to preach this sermon, save your fork, the best is yet to come. That's what happened that day. They had some old nasty stuff, sounded to me like. And then when they got that fresh fruit of the vine, whoo, this is good. But our God made it, and according to His Old Testament, it wasn't fermented. Whether you like it or not, in John chapter 2, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not take water and make it into a destructive, delusional, deceptive alcohol. He didn't do it. That's right. And we're going to get on this in the next couple weeks. But those that use alcohol in the Lord's Supper, which we're going to have in a few moments, it is blasphemous to use alcoholic beverage in the Lord's Supper. That's right. Masses in the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, and all the other churches that would use a regular alcohol. That's right. They have deceived. They have blasphemed Jesus Christ by putting alcohol. Now, can I stand where I'm standing? Absolutely. Because I can tell you right now, the worst thing I drank this week was a little bit of Coke Zero. You know why? I try to drink nothing but water or unsweet tea and hallelujah. Hang on. Coffee. You know, in some circles, that's called Christian alcohol. And I'm going to tell you right now, last time I drank anything was February of 1991. Remember that, baby? I'd stay out after work, and I'd go play music with the guys, and every now and then they'd talk me into going to the Mabel's Bar. Mabel's Bar was famous because a lot of the rock and rollers come out of there. They would visit there. Buster Colt was the one that I can think of. Clockwork Orange. Survivor. Richard Marx has sung there. And Tom Grassman was his name. And they had a Led Zeppelin cover band. And every now and then I'd come in and play rhythm guitar for him and sing some backing vocals. And that night I come home. I'd only had maybe one or two beers. I didn't have much because I couldn't afford anything for one. And I knew Jamie and Morgan were at the house. I got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. That little note said, "You don't sober up, I'm leaving you." And to be honest with you, I didn't think I was that bad. But that's the delusion that you live in. That's the deception that you live in. People make fun of the preachers when they call it devil water. Well, I've done told you. You got sugar in it, you got devil water. You need to understand that. You know the cause? And I have done it to myself, but of being a type 2 diabetic, taking in sugar. We were never meant to. Matter of fact, during World War II is when they started taking in sugar. You know why? Japanese found out that high fructose corn syrup. You add a little yeast to it, and I could probably make some whiskey out of it. Hello? That's just as destructive. That's why we had dementia like we have today. So let me finish with this. This delusional character, number one, thinks that there is no consequences for sin. In the original text of Matthew 24, that old servant thought there wasn't any. Then the master showed up. There's consequences. But you become delusional. Nothing's real. Yeah, there's no consequences for sin. You know, a delusional character says that a delusional character shows no mercy to individuals. Have you ever noticed that? Listen, drunk dad and drunk mom taking the grocery money, the electricity money, taking the gas money, taking the money to live on. And I get so irritated. But nobody calls them out. And that was what irritates me the most. A man might make $1,000, give his wife $100 to feed the family and drink on the rest. Y'all know what I'm saying? I've seen it over the years. I know this to be true. They don't show no mercy to their kids. They don't show no mercy to their wives. And believe me, it's destructive. I lived this life. I know. I was that kid that if we didn't have hand-me-downs, we didn't have anything. I remember playing baseball, and I so badly wanted some cleats. I might have been 10, 11 years of age. My cousin Tony Hopp was a couple years older than me, or a year older or something. And he had outgrown his shoes. My foot size was about a 9 at the time. You know what his foot size was? 10.5. I'll never forget this. I put them cleats on. They was flopping like clown shoes. But I was running the bases because I had some cleats given to me. And my daddy was drinking it away. Now, Mama won't do it. She's very upstanding. But I wonder how many weeks she didn't have grocery money because Dad did something else with it. Let me tell you something about delusional character. The last thing. Delusional character has no compassion for anybody. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Here you go. Here's $50 for groceries. I'm going to take 200 and buy two cases of beer, and I'm going to start Friday night, and I'll end up Monday morning when I got to go to work. Not only is it a delusional character, but there's a deceived state of mind. You know what that deceives the state of mind is? Number one, I'm in charge. A drunk is never in charge of anything. Why do you get bruises? Why do you vomit? I'm in charge. No, you're not. I can drink and I can still be. No, you can't. Well, what do you mean? Look at your forehead. Look at the bruise because you just hit your head on the wall. You fell over and hit your head on the floor. Oh, you see the bloody nose? Hey, you know the worst bruise that a drunk has? The bruise he puts on his wife. Called a black eye. Beloved, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and if you're watching, Mama, if you're watching, I'm so glad Daddy got saved. Oh, hallelujah. But a drunk and deceived state of mind thinks that they're in charge. They ain't in charge of anything. What do you think they call it spirits for? It ain't the Holy Spirit. And you know what gets me about this passage? Be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Have y'all ever drank a bunch of grape juice? You get a little bit, your tummy gets upset. And you might even get, you might get the squirts. Diarrhea, Kevin. That's what they call that. Okay. Are you listening? Being not drunk with wine, where's in excess? Have you ever done anything in excess? I used to. I used to go down to the buffet. I'd go to the buffet and I'd come out of. You know what that is? That's gluttony. There are certain foods that within the body of an individual actually ferment. They don't digest. Certain foods do certain things to certain individuals. For me, you want me to get worthless? Give me about 4 or 5 pieces of cake. Jamie went to the... Your pastor's wife needs marriage counseling. Okay? She went to the store. She says, you want me to get you anything? I said, yeah, I could go for some Little Debbie cakes. Hey. Okay? You know what she did? Or I should say, didn't do? She didn't bring any home. Y'all getting my point? You're deceived thinking that you're all right. I can do whatever I want. During the time in which 9/11 happened, President Bush stood there and said, for far too long, we've lived by the idea of if it feels good, do it. Yeah. He come that close to being spiritual. You know what he forgot to say? America, repent before God and get rid of your sin. He didn't go there. Did you notice that? Because that would have meant he'd have to done that. Another installed deceived man. We are very divided. Listen, beloved. I'm in charge. I can do whatever I want. You're deceived. Hey, you ready? Here's the greatest deception of anything like this drug, alcohol. I'm not accountable to anybody. You know why? Because they have gotten rid of the existence of God. Isn't that what they're doing? Haven't they done that with our school system? Now, I know there's some good people down our school system, but I'm going to tell you right now, those are temples of Satan. And anybody within them is a satanic priest. Like it or not, that's the truth. So let me finish with this. With this delusional character and this deceived state of mind always leads to destruction. It leads you to a slaughter. Why? Number one, you're destroyed because of the judgment of God. This servant in Matthew 24, he was judged. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, hell is real. Amen. Another thing, you need to understand that consequences will sooner or later be realized. Yeah. Be sure your sin will find you out. Right. And I'll finish with this. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, this is homework for you. Hell fire will be felt. As a rich man who is still burning today, asking for a drop of water. Well, beloved, the most popular drug today is alcohol. And it brings a lot of understand that it ought not be in any part of our life. Of course, good. No, Lord, it's one of those things once in a while or not at all. To abstain from it, Father. I'm a drunk when it comes to the alcohol or the sugar. Cookie Monster. Father, help me not to have delusional character, please. As we come to this invitation time, Lord, maybe there's some others that are delusional and concerned of other things. Well, whatever it may be, Lord, would you help us with it? In Jesus' holy name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altars are open. And if you're watching, I know this is probably a topic that your pastor said is okay. It's okay to drink. You're a fool if you think so. God never changed his mind on what he thinks of alcohol, ever. If we can be of help, any help to you, please let us know. But I want you to know, I'll be 55 in August. And on April 14th, I know at 54 that alcohol has never helped anyone or any situation. Thank you.